Welcome to Behind the Screens. This is a podcast series about the energy markets made by energy trading house Danske Commodities. In this episode, we're going to zoom in on corporate PPAs. My name is Jens Østergaard, and with me in the studio is Senior Sustainability Specialist Rikke Tordahl Hansen.
There are like different corporate responses to sustainability and climate change. One response is doing nothing, only make profit, and that's simply not accepted anymore in our society.
And head of origination, Marco Fassbauer.
At some point, when the grid is totally green, the whole phenomenon of corporate PPA will disappear. But let's use the tool as we have it. Throughout Europe, there's about 40 active companies offering corporate PPAs. So you must assume there's also a business model in it, right?
Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marco, maybe we can start with you. What is a corporate PPA?
If you take it very strictly, it is a corporate power purchase agreement, meaning that you have to write on the power that you purchase and you can use it in your own kind of production facility to move the power into something more of a product.
And I understand that there are different kinds of PPAs.
Yes, but maybe we should start with power purchase agreements as a kind of a base case. In the market, we make the distinction between a fixed price power purchase agreement. We also have balancing power purchase agreements. And the corporate power purchase agreement is per default a relationship between a corporate and a developer of taking the power of a certain project, whether that is photovoltaic or hydro or renewable or in any other way. That is the base case. When you do a corporate power purchase agreement, a corporate PPA, a CPPA, what you do is you fix a price for a longer term, guaranteeing an income for the developer, making his or her project bankable, as we call it. And through these kind of agreements, we enable more renewable production to be entered in the grid. And this is kind of going on since the last 15 years, but it's really spiking as we speak.
What role does Danske Commodities play when entering a corporate PPA with a client?
As we are an asset-light company, we would like to see ourselves as deal architects, because it's not just taking power from an installation into production. Power, per definition, is entered into a grid, which is a kind of a socialized grid where all kinds of productions will be entered, needs to be handled kind of administratively, but also operationally. You buy a quantity of power, and that is not the quantity of power you will offtake every single minute of the day, and that needs to be taken care of. The physicality of the product and the shape that we deliver to our customer, that is what we take care of. We take care of the financial implications towards grid operators, grid owners. We take care of maybe the hedging potential that is in there, and we make sure that all the regulatory stuff and the invoicing and everything that comes along is taken care of. So that is why we like to see ourselves as a deal architect rather than a trading house in that respect.
What kind of companies show interest in entering into corporate PPAs?
Where in the early days of corporate PPAs, you saw that it was very much the likes of Google and Facebook, Amazon, with very heavy power-consuming data centers that were kind of the first movers. Now you see that in general, companies with a relatively high CO2 footprint are making use of these type of agreements just to show the market, show their customers, show anyone that wants to see it, that they are kind of into the kind of the green revolution and want to lower their footprint and therewith want to be more attractive to the market. Usually, you pay a premium for that. And of course, it's only those that can pay the premium or can pass on the premium that will enter into these kind of agreements. But we're way past the first mover sites now. There's many, many companies these days that enter into either smaller or bigger corporate PPAs.
What are the company's motivation for entering into corporate PPAs, Rikke?
Many companies, they are acquiring renewable energy as part of their sustainability strategy. And if we zoom out a bit, then the concept of sustainability, it consists of three different pillars. There's the environmental pillar and the social pillar, and then there's the economical pillar. Some people also know this as people, planet, and profit. But if we look at the environmental pillar, which is the one that's really interesting in this case, of course, they're all interlinked somehow. But many companies focus on reducing their environmental footprint or their carbon emissions. In general emissions, they are kind of categorized in three different scopes. For example, scope one, that is all your direct emissions that comes from owned or controlled sources. That could be your assets, it could be your facilities or your company cars. Then there's scope two, and that's what is really important in relation to corporate PPAs, because that is all indirect emissions related to electricity consumption and heating consumed by the company. In this case, renewable energy is a very vital step in reaching your company's sustainability goals. Then there's scope three, but that's much more messy because that's everything else. It can be your travel, it can be employee commuting, it can be waste and so on. But with a corporate PPA, you can sort of link your offtake to a specific wind or solar park's production. And this, in this way, your sustainability efforts, they become much more tangible. This also indicates to all of your stakeholders, whether that is shareholders, employees, and customers, that you are actively supporting the green transition and you want to have a more sustainable future.
How has companies' view on sustainability developed over the past years?
I think that both the sustainability and climate and the whole narrative around it has changed a lot over the last couple of years. There are like different corporate responses to sustainability and climate change. One response is doing nothing, only make profit. And that's simply not accepted anymore in our society. The next is doing what pays, where companies, they realize that sustainability is an issue, but respond in a more shareholder-friendly way. Then you have doing your fair share, where you recognize that society have a collective challenge within this field, and that needs to be addressed. And the last one is doing no harm, which is a much more progressive target, where companies sort of commit to a zero impact on the environment. More and more companies also seeing the value of making sustainability like a part of their core strategy, trying to restructure their whole businesses and integrating sustainability as a part of their core purpose. Consumers are demanding much more transparency in general when it comes to sourcing green energy. As we know, there are many different shades of green in this context, and there are many different solutions and different ways of structuring these green products. And what is alpha and omega is that the claims of climate actions, they need to be backed with the real life impact. Entering a corporate PPA is one way of making this meaningful contribution to the decarbonization journey.
Can I add something to that? I think that when I was, let's say, in the age between 15 and 20, I've never been as conscious as I see my kids and their peer group are on actions towards climate. So there's always the first movers in corporate PPAs, and they try to take the benefit on a kind of a marketing kind of the advertisement value that you take from it. But the public, the society, as you just mentioned it, is not settling for less. They demand that we do something on this issue. And for companies, especially those that produce consumer goods, they will not get away with no action. So corporate PPA is a meaningful tool to get where you want. But it's almost, the companies are almost obliged to take that route. And if you want the favor of the consumer, you can't simply do nothing. Because the ones that do nothing, they will be out of the game in a couple of years. Yes, it is an enabler, but it will become a commodity in its own right once we get there. And I think the sooner we get there, the more beautiful this will be, actually.
This is also very important in relation to employees, both current employees and future employees. Because many employees, they want to work for a company that is climate friendly.
And if you want to have those talents in-house, then you need to show that this is one of your most important topics.
Are there any limit to what kind of companies can enter into corporate PPAs?
I would say no. Yes, there's kind of synthetic limits because you need to be credible because you're getting into a commitment that currently is somewhere in between 10 and 15 years, depending on the country where you are, which from a corporate point of view and a credit point of view can be risky. But in those countries where the renewable era started earlier than others, take Germany, take UK, take Denmark for that matter, we're looking at different tenors and therefore and therewith different risks. And that makes it more affordable, more common. And at some point, when the grid is totally green, the whole phenomena of corporate PPA will disappear. But let's use the tool as we have it. There is, let's say, throughout Europe, if we take Europe as an example, there's about 40 active companies offering corporate PPAs. So you must assume there's also a business model in it, right?
We can also use ourselves as an example. We also are looking into how can we, as a relatively small company, sign a corporate PPA ourselves. Of course, that is difficult, but you can do it in different ways, and you can bundle our electricity volumes with other companies and make like a bigger portfolio, and in that way make it possible. So,
based it on the community around you. Whether that is a segment in the market or a part of a city or city in its own right, you can do things. And that is actually what you see. You see it in Germany. You see it happening in other parts of Europe, that areas, companies, groups of companies, they take the initiative. That will develop. And it's actually, let's hope it will develop even faster than this, because that will push more renewables. There is, however, there's always a but. But in this case, also technology and grid needs to kind of grow or improve in sync with the market demand. I think it's only a matter of time before everyone would be looking into these kind of specific structures.
If you look 3 or 4 or 5 years into the future, how do you see the markets develop?
Judging by the amount of projects that are initiated, not yet started, but initiated, that need to be backed by a corporate PPA of some kind. I don't have the number in my head, but if the increase in corporate PPAs will continue as it does now, I don't think we will only have 40 people offering this to the market. It will be more close to 100. And I actually think that DC will have a fair share of it.
How do you see the company's needs within this sustainability space develop over the coming years?
It's a tough question, but I think that both companies and entire industries, they need to transition. And of course, also business models and the way we think about doing business needs to change. All companies in some sort of way, they both impact and depend on the environment at some point in their value chain, at least. So companies, they cannot remain sustainable in the long run if we overuse the natural capital that underpins all economic activity. Yeah, of course, we will see regulators changing the laws around climate unfriendly products. So yeah, the cost of inaction is and will be much greater than the cost of action in the end.
I agree. If someone would have told me 5 years ago that the price of ETS would reach 90 or 92 euros per ton, we probably would have said, sure, have a nice sleep. But it's there. So the push out of other non-renewable fuels is happening. So even more incentives to get renewables to the grid. And that is not a case of only a few companies. That is a kind of a responsibility of us all.
Thank you for joining me, Senior Sustainability Specialist Rikke Tordal Hansen and Head of Origination Marco Fassbauer. You have been listening to Behind the Screens, a podcast series about the energy markets created by energy trading house Danske Commodities. My name is Jens Østergaard. Be sure to catch the other episodes of our podcast series where you normally listen to podcasts.